This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Severe weather stretched from the south to the Great Lakes to the east coast today, says CBS's Meg Oliver.
Ominous warnings of an approaching tornado sounded in Flatwoods, Kentucky, as this menacing funnel swept just west in Lexington. Severe thunderstorms packing violent winds stretched across the south, ripping branches off trees in Tennessee.
This is really bad.
Downtown Parkersburg, West Virginia, turned into a flood zone brought on by heavy afternoon rain.
Donald Trump's lawyers are opposing efforts by the Justice Department to limit what their client can say about his election conspiracy case. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Trump's team wants to give access to these sensitive materials to more people than the government wants to have access, including many different types of folks, volunteer or otherwise, who might help in defending Donald Trump. And the government disagrees with that.
Violence is on the rise in hospitals.
About 40 states have passed laws creating or increasing penalties for violence against healthcare workers, but it has not stopped the violence, says California nurse Sandy Redding.
We are seeing increased numbers of workplace violence, especially in some psych wards, the emergency room, even on the med-surg units.
National Nurses United says patients and families are often frustrated over high costs or long wait times. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Almost a dozen families of inmates who've died recently at the Harris County, Texas jail have now sued the county. Attorney Paul Grinke.
Diabetes is a common theme, not being given their medicine. Wow. Story after story, whether it's diabetes or something else, of detainees crying out for help and being ignored, only to be found in their cell, passed away.
Credit card balances are rising, says CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks.
Bankrate's latest survey finds 60% of those carrying a balance on their credit cards, 54 million people, have been in debt for at least a year, and 47% of credit card holders carry debt month to month.
43% of those asked say unexpected emergency expenses are the most common reason they're carrying a credit card balance. The last former Minneapolis police officer convicted in state court for his role in the killing of George Floyd has now been sentenced almost 5 years in prison. Tu Tao had been found guilty in May of aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter in the killing of Floyd in 2020. He had testified that he was merely a, quote, human traffic cone holding back bystanders as former officer Derek Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck for 9.5 minutes. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Mino and the Mayor.
Johnny brought in a coffee maker because
Krieg.
Keurig. Yeah. You don't even know how to say it. It doesn't know how to operate.
I know how to use it.
So no, I don't know about that. But anyway, so we go make some coffee. Yeah, I go back. He didn't really say that. I said, I go make some coffee. I went back there. I just couldn't get, I don't know, it didn't work. It came in here because all over my shirt. Because where the hell were you?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, back from up north there, hey. It's Monday. It's back to the radio, back to politics, back to work. How you doing, little fella?
Hey, Crudy, I'm doing great. Good to see you. Casper working hard on the board today. Thank you, man. Of course, our fair audience, happy Monday to us all.
You know, I meant to call you little guy. That's what the skipper used to call Gilligan, right? Little buddy. I meant to call you.
Little buddy.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the skipper these days.
Yeah, I saw, man. Yeah, you got yourself a little go boat, man.
I am the proud possessor of one boat. Never owned a boat before. Well, sort of. We had a boat. We had a paddle boat that came with the cabin, and it sailed off to sea. We don't know where it went because we didn't have a boat to go around the lake and figure out where our paddle boat floated.
So you had a boat, but it ran away, and now you have another boat.
Yes. This one's got a motor. Two motors. It's got a trolling motor, and it's got the motorboat motor.
Oh, nice.
So even as I figured out already on the second day of boat ownership, if you can't start the motor for any reason, just pop that trolling motor. You know,
yeah, they'll get you going.
Lake's only so large. I had to have my son drive it back. Had to meet him at the boat launch. You know what I'm really bad at? Backing up a trailer. Didn't know how unskilled I was until I tried it. Like,
it is a skill
that I do not possess. And nearly drives you insane because the backup beeper's going the whole time I'm doing it. Lady that
you
sold
the camera,
me,
though, right? Do you watch the camera or do you use your mirrors when you're doing the backup on the trailer thing? You don't even know.
Both, I go insane.
Turning right, turning left. You don't even know, man. See, you should have worked on a farm when you were a kid.
Then I'd know how to back up a trailer, put a boat in water. Dude.
Absolutely.
I am so unskilled at all those things, Tom. But, you know, I saw this boat on the Facebooks, and it was on the Facebook Marketplace. And, you know, I set a very low budget. You know, like, I want a boat, but I don't really want to pay for a boat. Don't want to. Certainly am not borrowing money to buy a boat. You know, it's a cash sort of deal.
Oh, break out another 1,000, Curdy.
So All you people throwing this BOAT at me, break out just, another house.
You'll learn. You'll be there. You'll get it. You'll get it.
Here's the good news. We're on a no wake lake, so you can't even go that fast. You can't burn up the gas too fast. And my son, who is a good young man, Caden, but doesn't have his driver's license. He was, captain of the high seas all weekend. I had some radio dogs out to the house. We were having a couple cocktails. And then Caden, he took us out around the lake. It was the proudest boat owning day of my life.
Captain Caden. And those are the best, two best days of boat ownership. When you buy it and when you get rid of it. Those are the two greatest days.
Well, the best day was the day I bought it. Technically, the first day we put it in the water and we had a lot of fun. That was like Saturday, and then had a little party. You didn't come, but others did. And, had fun on the boat, and Caden took us all around the lake, little tour. But then Sunday, I had some business to attend to. Started my day in the Northwoods there, but I was up there doing business. So I had to pull the boat out. The boat has to come out. Yeah. So first I struggled getting the trailer back to the water, like, 9 tries later, so 15 minutes.
Did you eventually just disconnect it from your vehicle and haul it back with your, manual labor? Or did you actually?
That would have been so much easier. It would have been, buddy, this long country road, narrow, covered with, trees. It's like a narrow passageway. I got like 2 feet on either side. Man, I can't do this. I was horrible at it. Yeah. So finally, I get the boat back in the water. Cadence had a chance to cross the lake via trolling motor by this chance. So I get this thing back on the back of the trailer, and I start, turning the winch, and first time using the winch, first time pulling the water plug, first time, rocking the motor up, making sure it's in place to travel, I guess. I got an old style boat, 1976 or something, doesn't have the I am the labor on the lifting of the motor. So I learned that part, and I'm thinking, I'm remembering all the parts. The guy was very helpful, loved his little boat. Green and gold, like Packer colors. I said, I love this boat. It's green and gold. And he said, well, it's green and white, and the white's kind of discolored a little from the water line. He said, you might be disappointed if you think it's green and gold. This is before I had seen it. But once I saw it, I knew that boat would be mine. So bought the boat, pulled it on a trailer from Mauston, Wisconsin, up to our new cabin, which was about another hour's drive. Never saw so many deer in my life. Mauston, man, that place is filthy with deer. For good or for bad, hundreds. I mean, it was like herds of deer, man. It was like the deer apocalypse was coming there. Lots of deer. But I get the boat home, get it in the water, enjoy it for a day, have fun with a few friends, excluding you. And then got to get the boat out, and I get the winch, and there was one little thing. I'm like, what did the guy tell me about the winch? So I'm cranking it, and then I let go, and it goes back the other way, and it whacks me on the hand like a nun with a ruler, just smack. Oh, it hurt. Now I can't hear Dom. What happened to Dom?
The lessons. These are the lessons that you will learn.
I learned that lesson, and apparently there's a little metal brace so it can't go backwards. You got to utilize that when you're doing this thing. So now I've got, a swollen hand, throbbing, good and throbbing. You know how you're alive when you got that new boat hand throb. That way. Yeah.
Not like some sharp pain to remind you're still alive, man.
So anyways, I get the boat back to the house. And I realized, I'm not hauling this thing back and forth to Madison, so I'm going to leave it in the garage. Well, when you take the tongue off, when you take this trailer off, apparently the boat's heavier and will rock backwards. You got to sit there and hold it down. Well, so I'm trying to pull the boat, and it's like damn near lifting me off the ground a couple times. And my wife and my son are just watching me. And you know how Crudy gets a little frustrated occasionally. Let my emotions get the better of me. I'm like, no. Someone help me. I'm pulling a boat here,
I'm not clear. You're trying to get the pin off the back. I mean, what were you?
No, I had already done that. I had taken the.
Okay.
So now I'm tugging the boat into the garage, because I'm not putting a cover on the damn thing. That seems like work.
Did you just back it in the garage?
Well, others, a better man could. But I was personally delivering the boat yes. into the garage. I felt it was a necessary step. And so, anyways, got the boat in the garage. Found a heavy weighted table that would hold the boat down necessarily. And I have a project in mind, Dom. I looked it up. You can paint a fiberglass boat. So it is green. And the inside seats, oh, they're a lovely shade of like vinyl green. Think Packer green. So this boat will be my Jordan Love boat. And my wife already bought, like a Packer gnome. So the Packer gnome's like in the prow, the front of the boat. What do they call the front of the boat?
The bow?
The bow. Yeah, whatever it is. The front where, you know, like the Rolls Royce has the woman up in the front. We have the Packer gnome. So after I get done using the boat infrequently this year, because I'll have to back it into the water to be able to use it. And that is a skill set I very much lack for. But, you know, unless I personally deliver the boat, you know, like walk it down the trail every time, that'd probably be less effort. This winter, my commitment to you, Dom, I'm decorating that boat in green and gold, and I'm painting on the side, Jordan Love Boat. And that will be Crudy's pride in 1976 Jordan boat.
Is there room on, I know it's a little smaller boat, is there room on the back? You can actually, is it named right now? Is there a spot?
Well, I mean, there's the license on the side of it, the license number. It is licensed. I did sign the title. It is a, it's a legit boat and all that kind of stuff. But no, there's not a clear prior designation. The guy, Tom even had to give me the trailer receiver. I didn't bring the trailer receiver. So anyways, I owe Tom a receiver, and Tom did not tell me that he had named the boat, but I am calling it the Jordan Love Boat. And you know what, Tom, we're going to have a Packer camp. Check in a little later in this big show. We're going to have
a little angst in the locker room, Crudy. What's going on at Packer camp, dude?
Well, there is a reporter, and you know you notoriously can't trust those guys. Yeah. Reporter Adam Schein is effectively saying Jordan Love sucks. It's getting called out by the defensive players on the unit, and the Packer offense sucks. And I'm like, oh, man, none of this sounds very good to me. I was about to name my boat the Jordan Love Boat. And so we're going to get it. We're going to hear it from our guy. We're going to hear it from Mike Clemens, our Civic Media Packer beat reporter. He's been in camp the whole season. We're going to find out if this one little trash talking 2-minute drill, if that's meaningful, if this is signs of things to come, Dom, because I don't know if you know. But Civic Media, we got the Packers, three different markets. I started my day, Park Falls, Wisconsin. Beautiful Park Falls. Q, 98Q. See this? They got super cool stuff in Park Falls. Beautiful northern Wisconsin town. Like, it's an hour from UP and the dispensary is there. But anyways, Park Falls, nice little town. Spent the night there last night. Listen to 98Q. It's our newest Packer station in the Northwoods. 100,000 watts of Packers, huh? And this Friday night, the reign of Jordan Love begins. And it all starts with this boat. So I'm hoping the Love Boat, the Jordan Love Boat, is the sign of a Super Bowl season to come, Dom. And not sort of a Titanic blunder on somebody's part. Good money sunk in a lake. You never can tell. And perhaps political headlines as well. This is the Devil's Advocates. We'll give you a Packer update. And whatever you want to talk about, Tom, now it's your turn. Hope you had a great weekend. Come back with us. More Devils. Open smile.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
She's the newest
list of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies overnight at 58 degrees with light winds. We'll see tons of sunshine Tuesday, 84 for the late afternoon high. Northwest winds 5 to 10. Dry Tuesday night. Wednesday, there will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It's 66 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic point, a boy this tiny ship.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us online, politics, voting, you know, Packers, whatever's on your mind, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm already getting advice as a first-time boat owner.
Yeah.
Couple of thoughts on the text line. Early texters, they're the early innovators. Many of you, I believe, have the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can text us directly. It goes right to my phone that way. Okay, boys. You know, Jeff from Sherwood. A little pep talk for the Monday
yeah.
show.
All right, here we go.
Okay, boys. It's a new week. Let's get off on the proper foot. Oh, no. We're talking about boats the whole first segment. My bad, Jeff. But I had two things for you. Looks like you've taken care of one item. The second thing is to be great this week. Be great this week. And he didn't like the fact that we were off Friday. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah.
Summer got in the way, man. Had to go up to the Northwoods there. Hey,
make radio great again, Jeff.
Here's another one. Left is port. Right is starboard. Well, Dom, I would say this show's a little to port. Of center.
Port. I love port.
Different sort of port, I suspect. Another one says, Mark from the SAC, make sure you register it as a private sale. Do go wild on the WDNR website. Well, if that's an option, I'm doing the go wild on everything, Dom. I love the go wild option. Here's another one. You know, I called it the Jordan Love Boat, Crudy's little 16-foot motorboat, fiberglass, going to have to repaint it. Just so my wife's not embarrassed by it. Something tells me you'll be changing the name of the boat in no time.
Yeah.
Apparently, they don't like the Jordan Love Boat. And here's another one. Make sure you put the drain plug back in.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Excellent advice.
You need to get Sailor Matt Flynn out there. Yeah, get a Navy guy on that boat. Never ask a Navy guy if you'll have another drink, Dom.
It's none of your business how many he's already had.
844-967-2789.
Hang on, Carl. This crew has more to say.
I want to talk about a drunken Navy guy. Derek Van Orden, congressman from the great state of Wisconsin. Now, there's an editorial piece. Apparently, he's inspiring editorials these days, Dom. It's his conduct. And there are allegations tied to, let's say, some profanity drinking at the office with some constituents on the Capitol Hill, but the congressman from the third
Wisconsin. CD. He's just being Wisconsin nice. That's what the conservatives are all suggesting.
Well, let's see what Dave Zweifel has to say over at the Cap Times. Here it is, Dom. Ron Johnson has competition for the biggest idiot prize.
I gotta be honest, Dave, you're spot on with this one.
Well, I was gonna say, so does CJ for D-bag of the year 2023, Dom. I would put Van Orden in the early lead, but you could still nominate and vote for CJ.
There's plenty of time between now and the end of the year for, you know, any D-bag to step up and really claim that prize. There's a lot of room left.
In a column last month, Zweifel says, I repeated former GOP U.S. Rep. Liz Cheney's contention that what we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. Yeah, we make that contention often on this show, Dom. I agreed, says Zweifel, and suggested that our own U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was just such an example, especially over his views about the climate crisis and how Wisconsin could stand to benefit as the world gets warmer, Dom. We'll be vacation land forever. But that was before another of our mentally challenged elected officials took center stage. So Weefel's words, not mine, I didn't call him mentally challenged. Our editorial about Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's new 3rd District representative, says it all. His outburst of cursing and obscenities at a bunch of high school Senate pages in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda is proof positive that this guy hasn't the smarts to represent a Wisconsin congressional district. It's a pity because the 3rd District, anchored by the city of La Crosse, Dom and I are fine alums of the university there, has a long history of sending competent and thoughtful people to talk radio and to Washington. Yeah. Now, Van Orden's immediate predecessor, Democrat Ron Kind, was a respected and productive member of Congress, a revered La Crosse Logan High School athlete who went to Harvard, where he quarterbacked the football team before coming home to run for Congress. He was sort of the all-American boy. He became the district attorney and married the prettiest girl in town, Dom. That Ron Kind planted a lot of seed corn, that one.
He sure did.
And before him was Republican Steve Gunderson, who made his district proud over his willingness to cross the aisle when it mattered and work hard to keep the wheels of government running. We had our editorial differences with both of them, but never once doubted their dedication to the job they've been elected to do.
Rudy Zweifel goes on to write, the question is how Van Orden was elected in the first place. There have been numerous incidents that should have told voters that this is a guy who has trouble controlling himself. There was the public display of distemper when he lashed out at a high school girl volunteering at the local library because he didn't like the books she was stacking. His temper tantrums have been common knowledge in the district. He had the audacity to accuse young pages of defiling the integrity of the U.S. Capitol. The kids were lying on the floor to take pictures of the rotunda's dome high above them when the Senate session droned on into the night. That he would accuse young people serving internships for U.S. senators of defiling the Capitol's integrity while he himself, only 2 years before, was in the crowd of Donald Trump supporters who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021, is beyond the pale. Yes, as Liz Cheney claims, we do elect idiots for office. Derek Van Orden is proof of that. Dave Zweifel at the Cap Times. Thank you, Dave. I agree.
Never ask a Navy man if he's had enough to drink, Dom. He'll let you know. It'll start with some profanities, a little salty language. Derek Van Orden, you are a bit of an embarrassment, sir. Do better. Do better.
He can't do better. He's not capable of doing better. These megas, they're unserious people. They cannot see what they need to be replaced. Plus, we're the Devil's Advocates coming back with your calls at 844-967-2799.
Well done, little buddy.
Sure to get a smile from 7 stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
News brief. Severe weather has caused the cancellation of thousands of flights yesterday and today in the U.S., says FlightAware's Kathleen Bangs.
They're sleeping at the airport. They're trying to find a way out because the issue is going to be for them. Most of those flights tomorrow will be canceled also.
Federal prosecutors are asking for limits on what Donald Trump and his lawyers can say about his election conspiracy case, says CBS's Robert Costa.
Trump lawyer John Lauro said Trump can speak out on free speech grounds. We're going to file on First Amendment grounds on the fact that President Trump is immune as president from being prosecuted in this way.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics says healthcare workers are more likely to suffer non-fatal injuries by violence than those in any other profession. Nurses Union official Sandy Redding.
Certainly security is really critical. We want to make sure that everybody's safe, that the nurses and healthcare workers are safe so that we can take care of our patients. And we want to make sure that the waiting rooms are safe.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's back to work. It's Monday, right, Dom?
Are we working as I was having it right now?
Do you know, I started my day in the rough grouse capital of the world, Park Falls, Wisconsin. That's up north there, hey. That's up on the UP. That's where I started my day, Dom. Up there in vacation land.
Go grouse hunting, man. It's a thing.
I'm sure someone enjoys that.
See, you got a boat now, man. Next thing you know, you're going to be going grouse hunting, Crudy.
You know, they had this big old Abe statue, big eagle in the downtown. Thought it was pretty cool. Took a picture of it. You know, that's taking in the local custom and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that we missed the boat, Dom. Because you know what was this weekend in Park Falls, Wisconsin? Flamboarama, baby! The 70th anniversary of the Flamboarama. It's got the beautiful Flambeau River although I've only seen the Northern Fork. But the Flamboyorama was this weekend in the Park Falls. Bands, excitement for the kids, lots of stuff to do. Man.
Summertime in Wisconsin. It's the most beautiful place in the world, better than Minnesota.
Well, in the wintertime here, it's always better than Minnesota here, Dom. You know, there was an article at the Washington Post over the weekend. I think you put it up on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page. Fake elector plot raised concerns over legal peril, indictment shows. Well, Dom, you and I have talked about this fake elector plot, especially the plot that was perpetrated here in that Wisconsin State Capitol, like one block from me. And I would point out that happened on December 14th of 2020. That happened like an hour after the Wisconsin Supreme Court had literally closed the last legal pathway to overturn the election here in the state of Wisconsin. And those Republicans got together. Now, our friend Patrick Marley used to be at the Journal Sentinel. Now he's at the Washington Post, along with others, Dom. A lot of bylines on this one. Well, they throw this out, and I want to get at least as far as the Wisconsin part of the story. So I'm going to start, if you don't mind, Dom. 6 weeks after the 2020 election, senior campaign officials for Donald Trump called a group of loyal Pennsylvania Republicans to walk them through how they would convene 2 days later to cast the state electoral votes for the sitting president. There was a problem. Joe Biden had already been declared the certified winner in Pennsylvania. So a number of Republicans on the December 12th conference call who had volunteered to serve as Trump electors if he won the state said they were uncomfortable portraying themselves as legitimate electors, according to a federal indictment filed against Trump last week, accusing him of trying to overturn the 2020 election. Oh, yeah, that whole thing, Dom. The campaign officials, led by lawyer Rudy Giuliani, what a fine lawyer he makes, told the electors they were meeting on a contingency basis only. The indictment says, after the call, the campaign officials circulated language to add to the Pennsylvania elector certificates to be submitted to Washington, asserting that the votes were intended to count only if Trump prevailed in litigation in the state. That'd be an interesting out clause, Tom. Might even give you some legal protection, one might say. Did they have that in the state of Wisconsin? I don't think they had that here. Did they, Dom?
They did not.
Let's jump down in the body of this piece just a bit, Dom. In five other states, Republicans did not hedge. Instead, they signed paperwork claiming to be electors for the president and casting their votes for Trump, even though he had lost their states. Think Wisconsin. Electors in a seventh state, New Mexico, included contingency language similar to that in Pennsylvania. The Trump campaign then moved ahead with plans to use all the certificates to pressure Congress not to certify the Electoral College count for Biden. Now, Trump's team didn't return comment, apparently. Let's, again, jump down just a little further. Where's our pal Andrew Hitt? Do you have him, Dom? I think I'm just about there.
Let's get to Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you. I got it. Again, from Patrick Marley and others at the Washington Post. This posted today. You can check it out on our Facebook page. In Wisconsin, the executive director of the state Republican Party alerted his chairman, Andrew Hitt, that Giuliani was telling states not to let the media know about plans for the Republican electors to meet.
Why wouldn't you tell the media, Dom? Why wouldn't you tell the media? I mean, why not be transparent about this? This is just a backup plan, right?
Right. Well, it was in Pennsylvania. They didn't clarify here in Wisconsin. Hitt's response to the state Republican Party executive director was, quote, "These guys are up to no good and it's going to fail miserably." Yes, Andrew Hitt. And you signed it anyway. Hitt later told the committee he felt comfortable about the Republican electors meeting because a challenge was still pending in court.
Not true. It had been all challenges had gone through the Wisconsin Supreme Court more than an hour, and the ruling had been dropped more than an hour before they met to cast these false votes.
You know, I mean, when they were planning the meeting at that time, I guess, you know, it was still in litigation. And so what? I mean, what's an hour, 2 hours, a couple of days, a week? Hitt had been assured repeatedly that the Wisconsin meeting was happening only to ensure the Republican electoral vote for the state would be counted if Trump managed to win the lawsuit. He never thought of making revisions to the Wisconsin paperwork that would have made clear the Republican votes were valid only with the approval of a court. I wish we would have put that in there, he told the committee.
I bet he wishes.
Bet you do. The conversations appear to have been particularly fraught in Pennsylvania, according to emails published by the committee. A top attorney for Pennsylvania Republicans expressed deep reservations about the plan a day before the electors met. Thomas W. King, general counsel for the state Republican Party, sent Trump campaign official an email the day before the electors were set to meet, saying he understood that Trump electors in Pennsylvania were told they would receive, quote, indemnification by the campaign if someone gets sued or worse. They were also to receive a legal opinion by a national firm and certified to be accurate by a Pennsylvania attorney, King wrote. Instead, they got a memo from Cheese Bro, one of the six unnamed co-conspirators referred to in the indictment, in which even Cheesebro describes the plan in Pennsylvania as dicey because state laws for the governor, because state law calls for the governor, who at the time was a Democrat, to approve any elector substitution. King made changes to the elector paperwork to make clear the Republican electoral votes were valid only with the finding of a court order that could not be appealed. In an interview last week, King said he made those modifications after hearing concerns from electors. No one ever offered indemnification. Any document that any lawyer looks at needs to be accurate. One Pennsylvania Republican, Crudy Toll, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the sensitive matter, said a concern of the electors was presenting yourself as fraudulent. Well, yes,
because that's criminal. Concerning. That's a problem.
The person said several electors spoke to their personal attorneys about potential legal vulnerabilities. They were all doing a little research on their own background about what they'd be getting themselves into and what they'd be opening themselves up to, the Republican recalled. 3 days before the electors were to meet, Lawrence Tabas, T-A-B-A-S, the chairman of the Pennsylvania Republican Party, contacted Hitt, his counterpart in Wisconsin, to ask if the Republican electors in his state would be meeting. Hitt confirmed they would be. Hitt also told House investigators that Tabas said, well, I guess this is just all new to me. I'm not sure what's going on or why we're doing this. And I'm getting all these calls from the Trump campaign. He and six others ultimately chose not to participate in the meeting, more defectors than in any other state.
But Andrew Hitt had no such qualms, Dom, even though he himself is a lawyer and offers political counsel, I believe, at least per his title, at Michael Best and Friedrich, one of the big firms here in the state of Wisconsin.
These guys are up to no good, and it's going to fail miserably. Where do I sign?
Line one, apparently, Dom. Line number one. One must wonder if it got some sort of asylum deal. I mean, he gave testimony before the January 6th committee, right? And he's additionally, I believe, given separate testimony to Jack Smith. At some point, I got to think Andrew Hitt's rolling over on Cheese Bro. What do you think? And probably yeah. Rudy as well.
I think the whole thing is slowly coming apart, and I would love to see some action here in the state of Wisconsin.
Dominic, in addition, this from the Washington Post piece, let's bring it to conclusion as thus. In addition, Biden electors have sued Trump electors in Wisconsin and Michigan. The civil actions, if successful, could carry stiff penalties of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. Hit him where it hurts, them in the checkbook. Ooh. Republicans have bristled at the lawsuits, saying Democrats are trying to punish them for preserving their legal options. Is that what you call it? But at the time, some Republicans had suggested that the gambit would fail. See the aforementioned Andrew Hitt, chairman of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin at the time.
Why would you want indemnification and not tell the media if it's all on the up and up? Of course, none of that, you know, makes any sense if you believe what they're saying now.
Dominic Clark, the deputy campaign manager, summed up how the plan was likely to unfold in a text message to a colleague. In Arizona, Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, Michigan, our slates of electors will also vote. Pennsylvania probably won't happen. They'll be called invalid and out of order, and they're probably right. Didn't stop the Wisconsin electors, though. And Ron Johnson was more than willing to personally deliver those to the vice president because somebody's staffer asked. Hey, Ron, could you deliver these fraudulent documents to the vice president, try to overturn
it wasn't even described as fraudulent documents. I mean, presumably Ron Johnson
knew they
exactly
were not the real
thinking,
electoral
right? but when asked about it, Ron said, "Oh, I didn't know what it was." He didn't know. He's gonna pass along that package, you know, don't mind the sulfur smell, just pass it along, it's all good, Ron. He doesn't know anything. I'm just, you know, doing what somebody asked me to do, Ron Johnson. Yeah, you're a bag man now, Ron Johnson? That's your role? Come on. Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC with lots of boating advice and political thoughts as well, I suspect. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Doing okay. And good luck on your new boat. Make sure you get it registered since it sounds like you did a private sale.
I do like I did in college. You know, if it doesn't sink in the first 3-4 months, then I go tell the state about it.
Yeah, you can go. It's pretty idea. Easy. You can do it online. It's pretty simple. It's the more and more you hear about the fake electors thing, you wonder how deep this plot went. As I've suggested on other of programs on your fine network, that I wonder if our Supreme Court conservatives were actually aware of what was going on, and were ready to run cover.
Three of them certainly were, all excepting Hagedorn. They were all down to overturn the outcome of the election. It was a 4-3 vote. It was just the swing Hagedorn that prevented electoral chaos and a constitutional crisis care of Wisconsin.
And I think Hagedorn actually sold his integrity here. But I'd be interested, if I was the prosecutor in that particular case, I'd be subpoenaing the Supreme Court justices and say, what did you know and when did you know it? Because I mean, that happened on the same day, for goodness sake, and it just gets smellier every time you hear about what was going on here. I mean, it just is, it's getting sounding worse and worse, and with the governor's call today for Josh Call to do something, hopefully action will start here in the state of Wisconsin.
I saw that.
It would be nice. Yeah. Consequences. Governor Evers suggests there should be consequences for the fraudulent electors. Yes, I concur. Imagine if you knew someone in like law enforcement or like an attorney general or someone like that, that you could, pick up the phone and call. Is that proper? I don't know. Is something happening? What's happening, Judge Call? What's going on? These guys are fraudulent. They knew what they were doing was wrong, and they did it anyway.
You know, you getting all political. I want to compare boat stories with Mark. Apparently, he knows something about a boat. He did recommend that I put the plug back in the boat. Now, it seems illogical to me that you can, like, pull a plug and, like a boat needs a plug. But apparently it does. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Did I mention I got a boat? We'll be right back.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
It's so hot. Wait.
Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies overnight at 58 degrees with light winds. We'll see tons of sunshine Tuesday, 84 for the late afternoon high. Northwest winds 5 to 10. Dry Tuesday night. Wednesday, there will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It's 66 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open, going back to the lines soon at 844-967-2789. Crudy got a boat. Crudy, let me, if I may, just offer some suggestion for the boat. If you've seen any
more yacht rock
over the weekend, always more yacht rock. Montgomery, Alabama, looked like a couple of, let's call them what I would perceive to be drunken white racist dudes, tried to park their pontoon where a riverboat would normally park. And then they didn't like being told by the dock worker that they had to move their boat. And looks like, according to the video, they took exception to that and ganged up and started beating up on the African-American dock worker, a bunch of white dudes. Well, then a bunch of black people came out and started defending him, and a brawl ensued. So listen to the dock workers and don't be racist. Not that you are, but, you know, here's your boating advice. You know, 7 o'clock at night after being on the water all day drinking, just listen to the dock worker. Be nice. Everyone's just trying to do their job and keep everybody safe. 844-967-2789. Let's get to the lines. Ross, I'm sorry, Dick from Madison, you are first. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, in all this thing, last Friday's New York Times, there's a picture, a big one of Trump with his umbrella walking along, and you know how he's embraced this idea of being indicted? It suddenly came to me, what an awesome, if he had any sense of humor, he could have said, I'm singing after my indictment, my arraignment. What a glorious feeling I'm having. I'm indicted for the
singing
third
in the
time,
rain, man.
Third time. Yes, it's the first thing that came to my mind is, but he's nowhere near as talented as obviously Gene Kelly, but wouldn't it have been nice if he would have broke into I'm singing after my arraignment.
Yeah. He's singing after the arraignment. Yes. He doesn't have that kind of style though, man.
No, not at all. He's got this skull on his face, the umbrella on, it's raining. And why wouldn't you go that route? He supposedly thinks this is a good thing.
Well, of course, he doesn't believe that, Dick. He knows this is a bad thing. Everybody involved in this knows this is a bad thing. I mean, you're facing 70-plus, you know, federal charges, given the, you know, success rate of the federal government when they charge federal charges, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and given the age, and you know, even if one of those stick, Dick, you know, it's damn near a life sentence for the man.
It's a life sentence, exactly.
Yeah.
It's an absolute life sentence. But, you know, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
The guy has no sense of humor whatsoever, never has, no self-deprecating. I mean, not that you would at this point, I guess, but the first thing that came to my mind when I seen that was that song from Singing in the Rain.
What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. Thanks for the call, Dick. 844-967-2789. Ross, you are next. Happy Monday, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey, you guys. So I'm following up with Derek Van Orden, my representative over here in Crawford County, the 3rd District. You know, here he is. He's streaming at all these young guys, and you think, well, young kids, teenagers, yeah, here in Gage Mills, I think it was, and then over in at the Washington D.C. in the Capitol. And here's a guy, 27 years in the military. Now, one of the things that, Cruz, you might remember in the military, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But and you think, well, why is Van Orden like that? Where did his manners go? Well, it's because he was a SEAL team member, and these guys think that they're like the best of the best. And so, you know, so he's not going to apologize because he's never wrong. But he likes to brag. He likes to brag about all this work that he's already gotten accomplished since he's been a congressman. And, you know, and I'm thinking like, okay, he's got a bunch of, he cleaned up the office. There might be some little office stuff that he's kind of doing, but what has he actually accomplished? He voted against he voted for a health care bill, a defense health care bill that took women, you know, soldiers and sailors and such, their right to choose. He took that, he voted to take that away from him. So here's this guy, 27 years as a SEAL team member, has his super high opinion of himself, yelling at young kids, and wants to brag about all he's done for veterans. But what has he done? Trying to take the rights away from women veterans.
Yeah, Ross. I mean, that's the practical reality of it. I mean, the embarrassment that he is in the state of Wisconsin as he represents us across the country is hard to deal with. Ross, I mean, we talked about Dave Zweifel, his opinion piece that we referenced earlier. I mean, how did this guy get elected, Ross? I mean, from you, Sid, and do you think he has a chance of being reelected?
I think he's really hurt himself. I think in our district, you know, we have La Crosse, Eau Claire, and some other communities where I think women may come out to vote. I think he got voted in because he has some history. You know, he sort of plays the I'm a veteran, and so therefore everybody needs to sort of bow on bended knee to me because I'm a veteran. So he sort of gets that card, and I think he sort of has this, well, that's kind of, I think, the main thing. I think his attitudes, though, he's kind of a supposed religious conservative. Plus, I think the insurrection, his presence in the insurrection, I do not think is going to help him. So that, along with his
apparently it didn't hurt him. The man got elected to Congress, and he also was on paper for bringing a loaded handgun on an airplane on the return flight, Ross. I mean, we just got to get the word out about this guy, right? We just got to get the word out.
I think that's what it is. I think that's it. I think that there needs to be more information. I think there's going to be a lot of money with Rebecca Cook, who's running against him. I think there's going to be some money out there, and I think people are going to find out about this guy, and it's going to seem like they're seeing him for the first time.
I hope you're right, Ross. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling, man. Keep the word going out there. Catherine from Madison, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi. I just have a real quick note to tell you. I really wanted to reach Josh Call because he's waiting so long. And so I Googled him. If you just Google Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin, you get his page. At the bottom of the page, you can write him a note. Cool. It takes like 2 seconds. So I just suggest everybody does that. If everybody did that, maybe we get some action.
Did you do it, Catherine? And what was your note? Were you nice about it?
I was polite, but I said, it's time. You got to do this. I mean, come on. You know, I mentioned that they were already doing it in Michigan, and why not us? You know?
Well, Catherine, if he didn't notice your polite note, he should notice the governor of the state of Wisconsin making the same avocation over the weekend. Although
yeah,
I missed that.
We've got to join his short voice and send these notes to Josh Call. We really need to write to him.
Yes, ma'am. Excellent. Excellent suggestion. But I missed it because I was on a boat. Come back with us.
You and Cartman.
More Yacht Rock. Number two, you made him do this. You said always more Yacht Rock. That's what we're playing for you now. Come back to Happy Hour, the Monday edition. Back to work. Cootie's back from up north there, hey. And your calls could be next. 844-900-3393. night.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.